We began the service this morning, and in this service we sang this beautiful hymn, talking about almost the words of the psalmist in Psalm 23, in 178, "The God of love my shepherd is, and he that doth me feed. While he is mine, I'm his. What can I want or need?" We heard the gospel reading just now from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 24, profound reading in keeping with what we are celebrating right now in the midst of our celebration of the Easter or the resurrection of Jesus. A passage that I love and revere very much. We have our Bibles with us. The ideal to turn to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 24, and look and see what the Lord is saying to us today. Let's pray that God will reveal to us something brand new and wonderful and powerful in the Word. Here are the story of two people. Two people returning home from Jerusalem after all the drama of the crucifixion that took place there. Two followers of Jesus. They were not part of the 12, but there were so many other followers of Jesus. And here was one name, the name is given Cleopas, and it says the other disciple. Who is this other disciple? I'm always bent to imagine the other disciple as the very writer of the gospel, Luke himself. Luke was one of those, he writes in his own writings, he says, I'm one who searched and carefully discerned and wrote down everything when he wrote to Theophilus, the man to whom he wrote at that time his gospel. He says, His Excellency Theophilus. So Luke was, I believe, he was the one who was present there because he knows the story all very well. And these two people are returning from Jerusalem with sadness drawn across their faces. Imagine sometimes we go to Kannada and watch some people returning after a funeral. Or someone going along by the side, along with a casket, with a hearse. Sadness drawn across them. Hopelessness upon them. And here are two people returning, having heard that the body of Jesus was not there in the grave. Some women who went there saw the body not there. The story is going on here. And they're returning a 7-mile journey from Jerusalem to a village called Emmaus. And while they're discussing all that happened, Jesus comes along with them. Friends, if we can look at this story in our life, we must put this story into our day-to-day usage. How we begin to discover Jesus in our day-to-day work of life? Do we want Him at a certain point of life? And do we don't want Him at a certain point in life? Ask yourself. It's very convenient not to have Him sometimes. In certain times, you don't have Him around. Certain times, yes, we want Him around. As sometimes these two people did not recognize Jesus, and God intended that they will not be able to recognize Him because they were all faithless. This man died and he was put in the grave, and the grave is opened, he is not there now. So it's a confusion. In that confusion, Jesus walks along with them a 7-mile journey. And then suddenly Jesus asks these two people, "What on earth are you talking about today? What are you talking about so much, so intently? So much high-be conversation." And then these people are saying, "These things
What things I talk about? Jesus asked.
The things about the man who was crucified. Don't you know about him? Are you a stranger? Are you the only stranger who doesn't know what happened in Jerusalem? The very, very person of the drama, Jesus, going along with him. And still they don't recognize him. It can happen to you and to me in the midst of our journey, our pilgrimage. We don't recognize Jesus. And then the conversation begins there. And they said, the things that happened to Jesus, the man of Nazareth, he was a prophet who did powerful miracles. He was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and our religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death. We hoped that he was going to be the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. This all happened in the last few days. But the soon the women, they also got excited. There were the women in the Bible. There was a bunch of women who were really excited about the mission of Jesus. They really supported the ministry of Jesus. One was Salome, mother of James and John. Mary, the mother of John Mark. Mary Magdalene, mother of Jesus. Joanna. All kinds of names were there who were there involved in the ministry of Jesus. And I believe and trust Martha and Mary would have been around as well. And these people could not do something they should have been doing soon after the death of Jesus. But because of Sabbath on the Friday evening, Good Friday, they had to have the body entombed. And these women were all the ones who really went across to try and have the body anointed on the early Sunday morning. And they suddenly found that the cave is open. And they saw, and last Sunday we discussed about this, our Sunday before, how the angels were there inside and asked the question, very important question, what on earth are you doing here? Looking among the dead for someone who is alive. Don't forget that. We sometimes go to a graveyard and keep looking at the gravestones and think of the dead, oh, they're forever there. No, they're not forever there. Their bodies will be perishing inside that. Or the ashes are being soaked up in the soil. But the souls are with the Lord, living, rejoicing in the heavenly companionship with Jesus. And that's the way. He opened the way for them when he said, I prepared the way for them. In my Father's house are many mansions. Your doctor would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. When I prepare that place, I'll come back again. Take you to be with me. There you be with me always. John 14. And then the conversation goes on about the women who were there. They came back and said the body was missing. All very sad story. And Jesus said to them, you foolish people, how foolish you are. Verse 25. You find it so hard to believe all that was taught you by the prophets and the teachers of old. I feel it so odd. You find it so difficult to believe all this. What were you listening to all these years? What are the teachings that we all received, all of us? Friends, tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock in the evening, there's going to be a Bible study here in the church. Come for it, if you can. I hope there will be Indian Prime Minister walking around the place, blocking the roads. 6 in the evening in this church. Tell the others as well, who are not here for some reason. Here are the teachings have been there over and over and over again. Our Lord Bishop has been preaching you so many years. He says, you find it hard to believe all this. Wasn't it clear? They predicted that the Messiah would come to suffer all these things. Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses. He still teaches them along the way. It's like a theological school along the 7-mile journey. But still they have not recognized Jesus. And it was becoming evening, and they are walking 7 miles across. And becoming darker in the evening. And Jesus was pretended to be going along the way. He pretended, but deep inside saying, let me be invited. When would you invite Jesus to your home? There are certain days it's not good for Jesus to be coming to our house because, you know, sometimes the spiritual eats and drinks are not so good for him to be there. Certain times it's good for him to come when everything is going bad for us. A certain times let him be outside. He may come and upset the whole program. So Jesus pretended to be going along further, yet they have not recognized Jesus. Right? We come on a Sunday morning, do we recognize Jesus at the Lord's table? Let's see what happens. And then, by this time, nearing Emmaus, at the end of the journey, and Jesus acted as he was going on further. He acted as he was going on further. And suddenly these two people, Cleophas and the other disciple, I guess it was Luke himself, he said, please, Lord, please, sir, come and join with us. Not the Lord. Please, sir, come and join with us. Come and stay the night. You can't go alone. They've been so glued. Something was happening to them in that conversation. It's mentioned here. And Jesus happily went in there. I'm sure he had done a nice wash and come and sat at the dinner table. And then what happened? Jesus, in his normal, traditional, symbolic style, he takes the bread in the hand. And he took the bread, looked up to heaven, prayed. It's here. Right? As he prayed, as he broke the bread, oh, this is Jesus. We recognize him. How wonderful it is. Do we see that happening at the altar when the priest will take the host and break it in front of the people of God? He said, Jesus, this is you. The moment our Lord was crucified, people noticed he was dead. Physically, without breaking his legs that the other two men were, like their legs were broken. But for Jesus, a man, one of the soldiers took a spear and pierced right here at this point to the heart. What does the Bible say? Blood and water gushed out. When we stand around the Lord's table, the body for the breaking. You see into the chalice, you pour in the wine and the water as well, symbolizing the broken body and the poured out blood. Jesus himself to us. And so it is amazing moment in this very home. The moment they saw, because I'm sure they'll be so used to this style of Jesus, where he, when he broke on the day of the when he fed 5,000 of the people, he took the bread, looked up to heaven, prayed, and he broke and broke and broke and broke. So it was when he fed 4,000 people. So many instances. The Last Supper. And in the breaking, he's been revealed. Friends, when you sit down at your meal table, you may have eaten the bread or whatever. When you take your food, when you start breaking, give thanks to the Lord for his divine presence in your home as well. What a wonderful thing it is. Wonderful revelation. A wonderful moment of rejoicing in the name of Jesus. Just not to forget, he is our supplier. He is the Lord of life. He is the fountain of all supply. Next, something else happened. The moment that happened, tuck, immediately, oh, this is Jesus. We did not recognize him. But something has happened. All along the way, while he was teaching the scriptures to us, did not our hearts burn within us? While he talked with us on the road? By chance, in present context, people may run to the doctor and say, "Doctor, I got gastritis, burning inside here." But our hearts began to burn because the fire of the Holy Spirit of God was working along the way when the word would be expounded, opening out in His power. God's amazing word, God's amazing power. Was amazing revelation. So the word along the way and the sacramental moment around the table made Jesus real to the people, and those disciples, Cleophas and the other disciple, did not waste a moment. In the next hour, they're back in Jerusalem to tell the people, "We have seen the Lord. He's been with us. He spoke to us. He taught us on the way, and He revealed Himself to us at the dining table." And they were rejoicing. "We have seen the Lord." Would you have that same experience in your life? Find the risen Savior Jesus revealed to us in the break of bread and the outpouring of the Word of God. May God speak to us as we journey forward. May our life resonate that power all the time, wherever we go, the power of Jesus. Our hearts burning in us while we read God's word and expound the truth to people. Shall we pray? Loving Father, I want to bless you and give you thanks for this time. Father, help us, Lord, that our homes, our dining tables, our food tables, Father, may turn into little altars of God. That you are revealed, Father, the break of bread. The pouring out of our own needs in our life. Unravel the mysteries to us as we journey forward through your holy word. With awesome God, amazing Savior. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. God bless you.